I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we're back in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, it's been dubbed by our listeners as the best thing about Wednesday. Our weekly visit with ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Buffalo Bills, Marcel Louis-Jacques. Marcel, how are you this Wednesday, bud?
I'm excellent. You know, I think I'm starting to become more and more of a Western New Yorker because I look at the temperature this morning. I see 39 degrees, and I think to myself, oh, you know, that's not that bad.
It isn't that bad. You go for a run in this weather, Marcel. It's not that bad at all. You can still wear shorts.
So, my dog, you don't even need your jacket, man.
That's right.
We're going out here. I'll throw a little long sleeve on, and we're going to brave these elements.
All right. So here's the question. Now, you might have some snow Sunday morning. Does that freak you out, Marcel? Or are you like, meh? I mean, that's the test. If you're like, eh, then you're one of us here.
It is what it is.
Yeah. And Marcel dropped it. It is what it is. When we hear it is what it is, Marcel, we know what it is. It is BS. I mean, that's what you're saying, really. But it is what it is when it snows on a Sunday morning in Western New York. Marcel, let's start with today's practice. What did we hear from Sean McDermott? What do we know about the injuries to Ty and Seki? That Ty and Seki injury, I mean, we hear him week to week. That looked a lot worse than a week-to-week injury. What do we know?
It did seem worse than week to week. And, you know, I don't think there's a strategic advantage here in delaying your right tackle's injury news, especially one that's almost splitting snaps just down the middle. If he broke his ankle, I firmly feel like they would have put him on injured reserve already and brought somebody else in. But so this tells me I don't think it's broken. And I'm not a doctor here, so my word's not bond. But I would venture to say that it's not broken. There might be it might be a high ankle sprain. He might have gotten a little lucky there. But this tells me that the team, unless it's a front, this tells me the team believes he will return at some point this season. Personally, I wouldn't expect him to play in either of these next two games, specifically because, you know, it's that quick, short week back-to-back. You've got two games in 5 days. You're not taking any chances with guys in that span. But the Cowboys have two guys that rush the passer incredibly well in Robert Quinn and DeMarcus Lawrence. You would like to be at full strength against somebody like that. You would like to be at full strength against Denver and Von Miller and Derek Wolfe. These are challenging matchups, especially if Insecki can't go by the time they play Pittsburgh. That's got disaster written all over it because they love getting after the quarterback down there in Pittsburgh. And they got a lot of guys who are very talented at doing so.
So the options here, Marcel, and I know Brian Daboll's not going to tell you what the plan would be, but could we expect a little more tight end on that line of scrimmage? Could we expect a little more Patrick DeMarco? I mean, what's the best way to give Cody Ford support? Or do you just see what happens with Cody Ford? Is he ready for this assignment at right tackle full time here?
I think based on what his teammates have told us, Cody Ford is ready for this kind of assignment. He's ready for this. You know, we're 12 weeks into the season. He's not a rookie anymore, and that's what you're going to hear throughout any locker room, that these first-year guys are no longer rookies. You're NFL players. You got to be able to step up to the plate when you're faced with a matchup like this. But that said, I wouldn't be shocked if they slid Lee Smith over a few more times, if they kept Patrick DeMarco on the field as well. I think it's important to note that Devin Singletary has improved dramatically since training camp as a pass protector. He was a guy, you know, I put him in the same kind of category as Christian Wade during training camp when it came to pass protection, you know, non-existent. But he's a guy I think he can be trusted with. He can be trusted in pass protection at this point in the year, and wouldn't be shocked if he got a little bit of run. But I think they're going to give Cody Ford every opportunity to prove that he can handle this by himself. It'd be a great welcome to the NFL, you know, confidence boosting moment for the guy.
Marcel, it looks like the Buffalo Bills took the training wheels off of Josh Allen this season with the offense and Brian Daboll going up into the booth. I view that as, you know, that's a step in a positive direction for their relationship, a trust that maybe wasn't there earlier in the season now appears to be there between the two. Do you think do we expect to see Daboll continue up in the booth? And do you think that had any bearing on Allen's AFC Offensive Player of the Week performance against Miami?
Yeah, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'd expect Brian Daboll would be in the booth at New Era Field come Sunday. Like you said, it allows him to see the field a little bit better. But most importantly, and I thought, I thought that this can't be ignored, I think that it was a realization on this coaching staff's part that something really needed to change with this offense. It was a recognition that a realization that there was a problem that needed to be solved. And they made an appropriate step in order to solve it. Now, granted, this is Miami we're talking about. It's not exactly the Niners or the Patriots, but it was still probably the most complete game Buffalo has put together on offense. The most efficient game, scored on 7 of 12 drives. I think you're going to take that more often than not. So, I wouldn't expect it much to change, but this is going to be a different kind of challenge. Denver is, I believe, the number 4 defense in the NFL in terms of both points and yards allowed per game. It's a big challenge for John Brown, who, you know, he didn't have his best game of the season against Stephon Gilmore, and Chris Harris might be the next best cornerback that he's faced in that span. So, looking forward to seeing what exactly he can do, if he can keep this streak going. AFC's leader in receiving yards, obviously having an excellent season in year 6, but they need to win this game. There's really no other way about it. They need to win this game because there is a very realistic possibility of them dropping, if they lose here, of them dropping 4 or 5 straight. This Dallas, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, New England stretch is looking more and more brutal every week. And you've got to do yourself a favor and get this dub at home before you hit the road.
Bills and Broncos, 9 a.m. for the pregame coverage this Sunday. Our guest, Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN NFL Nation reporter covering the Buffalo Bills here in the sports bar with us for a few good minutes. Building off of John Brown, and certainly the chemistry has been there between Josh Allen and John Brown. Who might be, let's say Chris Harris takes out or they roll a safety, who might be that secondary sort of target that could emerge? I'm looking for Josh Allen to develop a chemistry maybe with Cole Beasley or maybe with a tight end. Marcel, I mean, or maybe is that secondary target not on the roster at this point here? Just what will it take to have Josh Allen develop a chemistry that we all expected that maybe would be further along with Cole Beasley at this point?
Yeah, and I think somebody asked me what I thought about Cole Beasley's role after Sunday's game, and I think Cole is still, he's still on pace for one of, if not the best season of his career. His role is what it is. He's a guy that can move chains. That's not what he's been in the NFL. He's a reliable target. He can get open quickly in space. He can get you 7-8 yards every time he touches the ball. I'm not sure if pumping 13 targets Cole Beasley's way would be the way to beat Denver, per se. I still need to watch. I need to watch some tape. I need to see what secondary receivers have been able to do. But it would be an opportune time for a guy like Robert Foster to get going, or a guy like Dawson Knox to take advantage of being of that next man up mentality if they take John Brown away. There are some targets there. Isaiah McKenzie, I think, he's been an integral part of the offense over the past couple of weeks as well. There are names that could fill that void, but I'd be pretty surprised if they didn't try to get John Brown the ball first and foremost and really just move back from there if he's being blanketed.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN, joining us here in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Marcel, it was an easy thing to predict prior to the game against Miami that the Bills' run defense would get right against a team that really struggles running the football in the Miami Dolphins. That came true. Miami did not have a productive day running the football, and the Bills' defense just overall looked like they were just playing a little bit more aggressive. Now, I'm curious, do you think that their performance against the Dolphins in stopping the run was a product of that more aggressive scheme that Leslie Frazier committed to against Miami, or do you think it was just a matter of Miami's a bad team, they can't really run the football?
It's a little bit of both, but you know, just to be clear, even if they're bad at running the football, it's still, you know, you have to bring your end of the bargain in the NFL, and I think that's exactly what Buffalo was able to do on Sunday. But this will be a much tougher test against two backs that Sean McDermott called perhaps the best tandem in the league in Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. Both are guys who can hurt you on the ground and through the air. They're definitely the most interchangeable, I think, tandem in the league, right up there with like Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. But Buffalo, ever since the Week 8 loss to Philadelphia, they're allowing the most rushing yards in the NFL. They've allowed the most rushing yards in the NFL when facing a two back personnel, 20-21 personnel. And it's something that Denver has done often throughout the season. It's something that is on film that can confuse Buffalo, the middle of their defense. So it's a big game for Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. They've got to play aggressive. They've got to be able to play downhill, because if they start to hesitate, like you saw them do against Cleveland, a little bit against Philadelphia, they hesitate as to who's getting the ball, then that's all the time an offense and an offensive line needs to make that push up the field and get their running backs to the next level. So it's a big week. It's a big week for them in more ways than one, especially considering the rushing attacks they're going to be facing over the next 3 weeks following this game. You've got to get one more confidence booster under your belt. You can't allow Denver to put something on tape exposing the middle of your defense.
Marcel, back to the offense here, and what would help is getting another day like Josh Allen had, and part of it too was the throwing the ball and speeding up the tempo of that offense. I don't know if we could call it a true hurry up no huddle, but they were going no huddle. Is this more of a direction you think the Buffalo Bills may be leaning in just to pick up the pace there as far as speeding up the plays and whatnot?
I'd expect to see it more often, but I want to go back to something, not to name drop, but something Ron Rivera told me last year when I asked if there was a possibility the Panthers do it more often. You have to run no huddle strategically. That can't be your offense, because the floor there, the worst case scenario, is you go three and out in about 90 seconds and your defense is sitting on that sideline getting no rest. So it's got to be strategic. You can't do it over and over again because of the risk of getting off the field quickly. If it works, attack it, do it. But you're going to want to kind of take your time and allow this defense to perform to its standard. It's not going to be able to do that if it's exhausted.
Hey, Marcel, when Devin Singletary came out of college at Florida Atlantic, we kind of knew the scouting report on him. Not the fastest back, not the biggest back. We didn't know anything. Well, at least we didn't have ball security as a potential issue for Devin Singletary. Two fumbles against Miami and fumbles that didn't cost the team, fortunately. He had some time to think about that during the game. Do we expect that Devin Singletary has learned his lesson and we won't see any more cases of the drop C's moving forward?
Yeah, I think if you go look at the game he had, it kind of makes sense why he would get a little loose with the ball. Beyond that 20-yard or 22-yard run to start the game, he wasn't having a whole lot of success at the line of scrimmage. And this is kind of the first time in which he's gotten, you know, a decent workload that he hasn't been able to break a few for 5, 6, 7 or so yards. And, he's hitting the wall again and again and again, when he finally breaks free, that run around the left sideline in which he committed that first fumble, he wanted to try to do as much as he possibly could after finally, you know, getting to the next level of the defense. And the same thing again, just trying to do a little too much This isn't college anymore. You're not going to be able to reverse field. You know, it takes a special kind of speed, you know, like a Tyreek Hill kind of speed to reverse field, and that's not Devin's game. So it's a learning experience, but it's one you got to correct because you put the ball on the turf two times. Defenses know now, okay, this guy, he runs a little loose with it. He carries it away from his body when he's breaking tackles. That's going to put the onus on, you know, on the defense to fly, put 11 hats to the ball, and send guys swiping at the ball after the first guy wraps up. So it's something he's got to get corrected, but it's not something that we've seen from him even dating back to training camp. I'd expect this is more of an anomaly than a new trend.
You know, going back to the New England game, I would say that the number one reason they lost that game was certainly the four turnovers. You can't do that. But the number two was you allowed a block punt to go the opposite direction. Special teams, and if the Bills are going to be in these games against these good opponents, and I'm including Denver because yes, their record doesn't show up. They're decent. The special teams a concern coming off of last week, Marcel. And if Saran Neal isn't available this week, how big a loss would that be for the Buffalo Bills on their special teams units?
That is, and it's one of those you never know what you got till it's gone kind of situations. Especially with special teamers, it's hard to really understand their value until you see what life is like without them. And that's what we saw with Saran Neal's absence Sunday. I mean, obviously Miami was able to return one, almost two kicks to the house after Neal left the game. It's going to be a focal point in practice without him there. With concussion protocol, you never really know which way these things are going to go. So at this point, he's still pretty questionable to play on Sunday. But, I mean, I think he showed us just by not being there what he means to the special teams unit. But, it's very much one of the phases of the game that you've got to be fundamentally sound in. You've got to be disciplined in because, you know, there's no worse feeling, I think, from a fan perspective. There's no worse feeling than watching a team dominate on offense and defense and lose because of a special teams blunder.
Marcel, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, once again, it's something that you got to clean up.
Marcel, last week when we had you on, you gave us a pretty good tease. You were working on something special for ESPN.com. I'm wondering if this is the week that you can give us a little bit more detail, let our listeners know what you got on tap there.
Yeah, I've got three things on tap for the next few weeks. Should be coming out tomorrow. It's not quite a rebuild story, but more of how this locker room has been assembled, what kind of guys they've looked at and brought in, what their common traits are, what makes them who they are. I went around to several guys who have, you know, been added to this roster over the past 3 years and asked them to describe the commonalities between them all. And the answers were some of them I could use, some of them I can't. But some of the funnier ones were, you know, misfits, foster homes, dogs, leaders. I mean, it's just it's really intriguing place to be. So I tried to paint a picture of what this locker room is like behind the scenes. That should be coming out tomorrow. I've got a special on Cole Beasley coming up during Thanksgiving week. Not quite just a return to Dallas, but more of who Cole is off the field. And I'll absolutely have more for y'all, more details for y'all on that on Wednesday, but I just sat down and spoke with him today. It was an awesome conversation. You know, one of those, you blink and it's over. You blink and you've been talking for 40 minutes, and so I'm excited to get that out. And then I'm breaking down John Brown, man. You don't often see receivers in their sixth year, players, period, in their sixth year breakout. You know, you usually are who you are by this point. So to see him, you know, on pace for a 1,300-yard season, leading the AFC in receiving yards, that tells me, you know, he's had these traits. He's had this talent in him probably for a number of years now. What is it about this team and this situation that has allowed him to blossom? And so I've sat down with receivers coach. I'm actually going to talk to Larry Fitzgerald here in a couple minutes to get some more background on him. Yeah, you know, I can't help but name drop that. That was really cool.
It's big. Ron Rivera, Larry Fitzgerald, this is the world of Marcel here. This is who he rolls with.
And sometimes his life ain't bad. But, I just want to put it on paper, you know, because, like I said, sixth year, man, he's part of that class with, you know, Odell, Sammy Watkins, Jarvis Landry, Mike Evans. that it was a maybe the best receiver class, one of the best receiver classes of all time. And you don't really talk about John Brown as being part of that. But right now, as those six-year receivers go, he is second in the NFL in receiving yards in 2019, behind only Mike Evans. So I'm just, you know, it piques my interest, and hopefully I can convey that to y'all as well.
That's a great read. I can't wait for that. And Marcel, I mean, Pittsburgh State, I mean, that's part of it, right? Coming into the league with very little fanfare from a small school and really not getting the opportunity before last year when he was in Baltimore, and then injuries derailing a lot of his career as well. It's refreshing to see what he's been able to do. I think the talent has always been there. We're just seeing it now as football fans on display for an extended amount of time for the first time here in Buffalo. It's great.
Exactly, and it was interesting because a couple weeks ago I pulled him aside in the locker room and I told him, no interview, just I've been interested in this and wanted to get your perspective before I start digging, and I told him what I said, you know, like at this point in the league, players don't break out in year six. It's usually, you know, they've just been schematically used wrong. I asked him, what is it about Buffalo that's been able to help you break out? He just kind of smiled. He said, you know, they're actually letting me be a receiver here.
Yeah.
And so I'm, like I said, going to be breaking that down. Hopefully that's coming out Baltimore Ravens week. Even got a feature on Andre Roberts coming before the end of the season as well. Got a lot of great content coming y'all's way. And as usual, can't wait to share it with you.
Marcel, we will talk to you next week. Always appreciate. Look forward to our conversations on Wednesday.
Absolutely, guys. Have a good weekend. And enjoy the rest of the week. Stay warm.
You as well. Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com, ESPN NFL Nation reporter for your Buffalo Bills.
That's been the biggest surprise, right? The production, because what? The Bills need a number one receiver.
Yeah.
How would you define a number one receiver? This is what
funny. I mean, he's not a number one, but he is a number one.
He is a number one.
But by definition, by your preconceived notion of a number one wide receiver, you don't think John Brown. But
you think
if you watch John Brown at the start of his career, underneath Larry Fitzgerald in Arizona, you saw a guy who flashed moments of brilliance and speed like you wouldn't believe. I mean, he's got the nickname Smoke for a reason. And, you know, injuries kind of derailed his time there in Arizona. And then you got to wonder who's throwing him the football.
Well, right. When Flacco went out and Jackson was cutting his teeth in Baltimore last year, that didn't help him.
Right.
Didn't help him.
It is nice to see a guy with talent get that opportunity and the team actually embracing the guy's talent, playing to his strengths. And the thing that's funny is when Brown came in, we all thought, oh, this is the guy that's going to stretch the field. This is the vertical threat. And the vertical threat hasn't been, the vertical game hasn't been a part of it. It's just been consistent production. He's doing what they ask him to do. And it's more than just go deep and outrun the passes that Allen's going to throw.
No, he knows how to run routes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's get to NFL appetizers next. We'll get to it quickly here in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia. It's brought to you by Alex's Place, making mouthwatering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
So who's going to be quarterbacking the Chargers next week? We will tell you. Tyreek Hill, an update on his situation, updated odds for the Super Bowl, and yes, hot kicker talk.
Ah, good. Hot kicker talk. Excited for this. It's all on the way. NFL appetizers next on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.